Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Turn to Luke 4. Luke 4, 18 and 19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. The gospel. And in Isaiah 61 it said, good tidings. That Luke 4, 18 and 19 was from Isaiah 61 that the Lord quoted. Why did he leave out the second part of verse 2 in Isaiah 61? And the day of vengeance of our God? He left that part out, didn't he? Because we are still in the day of grace. Hallelujah. The day of vengeance of our God is not good news for a lot of people. And it says good tidings. Anybody know what the word gospel means? It means good news. Good news is not bad news. And I am not a minister of doom and gloom. I come to bring good news. That's what Jesus came to do. And the door is not closed, it's still open. Time is growing short. We all realize that. All the modern day prophets of God and ministers of God agree on that. But the door is still open, and that is good news. Hallelujah. That's the gospel. Good news. Turn to Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14. This is part of the good news. Habakkuk 2, 14. For the earth shall be filled. How many know the earth's not filled yet? It's not filled yet. Shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. Until this gospel is preached to every creature, to the whole earth, it cannot be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. Amen. And that's what we're in the process of doing. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. And the Word of God is not bound by these walls. The Word of God is going forth even now. Even though we don't see the people here, the Word of God is going forth. And it is drawing them in, because we're here to lift up Jesus. The earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. How do the waters cover the sea? Is there one atom of the sea that's not covered with water? As the waters cover the sea. That's completely, isn't it? Completely, totally. Field. That's how the glory of the Lord is going to be on the earth. Completely. Oh, isn't that marvelous? That is so wonderful to think about that and meditate on that. To meditate on the glory of the Lord filling the earth. That is good news. God is doing great things in the earth right now. He's doing great things through His ministers. All over the earth, there are wonderful things happening. There are millions of people more than ever before are coming to Jesus. And if you're not hearing about it, you need to listen to Christian radio or Christian TV to get a grip on what's going on, what God is doing. Or listen in the Spirit. If you're listening to the Lord, you'll see He is moving. He's doing marvelous things. And persecution is greater than it ever has been. That's a good sign that the Word is going forth. I believe the Word is going forth throughout the earth right now. And the gates of China shall not prevail against it. That's what the Lord showed me this week. I had a vision. You know, we pray every day for the leaders of all the countries to be saved. And then they'll open the doors. And then we even pray for them to fund the gospel. Just like some Syrian or Persian king, when they were going to rebuild the wall, he funded it. God moved on his heart to fund it. And boy, I grabbed hold of that and I said, if the leaders of the countries get saved, God can move on their hearts to cause them to fund the preaching of the gospel in their countries. They'll start donating stadiums and big buildings, and they will beg people to come and preach the gospel. And we need to, we're commanded to pray for those in authority. We're commanded to pray that the Lord would send forth more laborers into the harvest. There's plenty of work to be done. It's not just for a few. We all need to work because there's so much to be done to spread the gospel so that the glory of the Lord will be spread. Because where the gospel goes, the glory goes. Because the gospel is the power of God. The vision he gave me was a great, at first I thought it was a gate, but it wasn't a gate, it was a wall. A solid, stone, big wall. Real high, about 50 feet high. And I saw a few people, not many, maybe 20 to 40 people, pressing against that wall, but they weren't actually pressing with their hands or their bodies. They were just outside that wall. But I knew in the spirit they were pressing against the wall. You know, there are countries that will not allow missionaries. There are still many countries that will not allow the gospel to be preached. So these few people were pressing against the wall. Just like, and the Lord said, just like the walls of Jericho. If my people will praise me and lift me up and give forth a shout of victory, those walls will crumble. They will come crumbling down. Let me ask you this, and this is the way the Lord put it to me this week. Can any great leader stand against the waters of the sea? Can 50 great leaders, communist leaders, for example, can they stand against a flood or an earthquake or a volcano or a typhoon or a monsoon? Can any, a million great leaders, can they stand against that? A billion, can they stand against that? Not all the people in all the world could stand against the waters of the sea. So how can a few stand against the gospel being preached in every nation, in every country? It will be, and it is being done. And we are the generation that's to do it. The gospel is going to go forth. And you better get in with those people or get out of the way. And I want to get in with them. And there shouldn't be just a few. It should be all of us together. And they were in line. There was not one in front of another. There were none taller than the others. They were all together in one accord. And the walls are coming down. The walls are coming down. And no leader of any country, and no leaders, no communists, I don't care what kind, no leaders are going to stop the gospel from coming in to all the countries of the earth. Hallelujah. Let me give you two more quick scriptures. Isaiah 6, verse 3. Boy, I tell you, when the Lord showed me that this week, I just felt the fire of God and the power of God. And, you know, our words bring it forth. He speaks through His people. So we need to be so careful what we say and not go around speaking bad news and negative stuff and bad things and, oh, what's the world coming to? Well, the Bible tells us what the world is coming to. The whole earth will be filled with the glory of God because He said it, and I believe it. Isaiah 6, 3, and one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth. It didn't say heaven, notice. We know heaven and heavenly places are full of the glory because sometimes we get a glimpse and we walk in those heavenly places. We don't always feel it. We're not always aware of it, but we're walking in heavenly places. And when we are aware of it, then we experience that glory. And that is glorious, isn't it? Marvelous. The whole earth is full of His glory. Hallelujah. Psalm 72. I'm just tired of hearing doom and gloom. I know we need warning sometimes. The Lord had me give one several weeks ago in admonitions and wake-up calls. We need that to shake us out of our complacency, to get with the program. But the program is going on. And that's the glory of the Lord. Psalm 72, verse 19. And blessed be His glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with His glory. Amen and amen. Amen, or amen, the way we say it in America usually. Amen is the Hebrew word. It means truth. It means so be it. It means it's done. Just like it says, let the whole earth. God said, let there be light. When God speaks, it is so. When He speaks, it is done. And nobody's going to stop. Nobody is going to stop the flood of His glory from covering the earth. And I tell you, I want to go with it. I want to flow with it. Hallelujah. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. That is just so wonderful. It's just so glorious. Almost every time when I think that I'm going to preach on a certain thing, I just cannot leave the glory out, can I? The glory of the Lord. But I thank Him for giving me that message to the body. You know, when you plant a seed, you expect it to grow and bring forth something. Whatever manner of seed it is, that's what you expect to get. And I've said that over and over. Whatever kind of seed you plant, that's what you're going to get. You plant cucumbers, you ain't going to get pumpkins. You know, you plant pumpkin seed, you'll get pumpkins. You plant love, you will receive love. You plant kindness. And the Bible says if you want friends, you got to show yourself friendly. You plant friendliness, you will get friends. You plant kindness, you will receive kindness. Whatever manner you plant after, that's what you'll get. You'll reap the benefits of what you sow. God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, you will reap. You plant money, you're going to get money. If you plant in good ground, not in concrete, you got to be careful what you plant. Where you plant it. If you plant, and it works in the negative too. You plant negative seeds of whatever, hatred or bitterness or whatever, meanness toward people, that's what you'll get back. Judgment, criticism. We all know it works, don't we? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. The Lord said a lot about seeds because sowing and reaping is a principle. It's a spiritual principle as well as a natural principle. There are other principles that, you know, like gravity, that's a natural principle. It's a natural law that God set forth. But this one works both ways. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed. Corruption is decay. The first time we're born in the natural, we're born of corruptible seed. Decays. But we're born again. If we're born again and know the Lord and come into the kingdom of God, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, cannot be destroyed by any means. What is that seed? The next phrase tells us, by the word of God. That's how we're born again. You can't be born again without this word. No way. Because faith is what gets you into the kingdom. But you can't have faith without the word. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. So we're born again by the seed of the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. That's no corruption. Liveth and abideth forever. Now turn to Mark chapter 4. Now, if any of you have done any gardening, you know that some seeds you have to buy year after year. If you save them over to the next year, you know, a package of seeds, then they might not come up. They have to be fresh and new. But if you take the seeds from the plant from one year and you plant them the next year, it'll come up. Now, I don't know why that is. It may be because of processing or something like that. But just there are some seeds that just die. All seeds have to die one way or another. or they cannot bring forth. And we know that we have to die to ourselves and the flesh before we can bring forth. But what I want to talk about today is not death, but life. The seed itself has life in it, doesn't it? If there's no life in the seed, it won't do anything. It'll just rot in the ground, that's it. But if a seed has life in it, you put it in the ground, proper ground, with proper nourishment and proper watering, that seed will grow and bring forth. Because it's got life in itself. If there's no life, nothing will happen. We are born by the incorruptible, full of life, the seed of the Word of God. This Word is the seed. We just read that. This Word has life in it because Jesus is the Word made flesh. When you put this Word in you, there's life in that to bring forth, to spring up. Let's start with verse 3. Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow, and it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. So you have to be careful where you plant the seed. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth, immediately. So that evidently wasn't too good of a thing, was it? It didn't have depth of earth, so it sprang up immediately. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth. Some 30. Never was it just one by one. You don't plant a seed of corn and just get, well, I guess sometimes you could if you don't plant it in very good ground and don't take care of it, you know, and don't prepare your ground, then you might just get one, an ear of corn with one little grain on it. You know, I've seen sometimes where you've seen the ears where there's just a few little things, so if you've ever gardened or seen anything like that and you go, just throw it away. It's just got one grain on it. You don't even deal with that. It's worthless. Some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Lord, give us ears to hear. And give us revelation, Lord, deeper than we've ever had before. You know, you can study the Word over and over and get something new every time. When he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. Not just the 12, whoever else was willing to stay around with him. It's not just for a few, it's for whosoever will. Anyone willing. Verse 11, and he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom. Why? Because they stayed with him. They didn't just come for the miracle or the entertainment or the food and then went away. Because they stayed with him. Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. That seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. That is a fulfillment of Isaiah, what was spoken in Isaiah. It was in the same chapter we were in, as a matter of fact, chapter 6, on over in there. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And know then, and how then will ye know all parables? He has to give us understanding. The sower soweth the word. The seed is the word. You know, we have to grow up. You see some people that are like a flare-up, you know, when you first strike a match, it just flares up, and then before you know it, it's out. And a match really couldn't do much in this room, could it? You know, it's just like sort of temporary happiness of the world. It's just like a match. It just flares up, and then it's gone. You know, the Bible says there's pleasure in sin for a season. So, you know, it's just a flare-up, and then it's gone. There are some so-called Christians like that. They just flare up all of a sudden, and they have a zeal, and you think, boy, they're really on fire for God. If it's the Lord, they'll stay, you know, even though they may go through some trials. Some of them, on the other hand, they just you know, come to the altar out of emotion, and then they don't, you never see any fruit, ever. The Lord is not going to trust everyone with His great power and anointing. You have, when you're born again, you have the incorruptible seed in you. You have the potential power in you. You overcome by the blood of the Lamb. And that's already been done. That was His part. The blood has been shed. It has paid for everything. The promises of God are yes. Whatever it is, He's already said yes. You can have it. The promises of God are yes. And what? Amen or amen, so be it. Done. He says, done. You can't ask for anything that you need that's not already done. Healing, deliverance, prosperity, it's done already. He said, amen. He said, yes. He's already said yes. You know why? If I already tell my kids yes on something, why should they keep coming? I said yes. You know, that's what He's saying to us over and over. Because we keep saying, Lord, will You heal me? You know, I don't know if it's for me. Or all this kind of, you know, the doubts that come in. And then we say, well, will You heal me? I need You to heal me. He says, I said yes. He already said yes. The Word, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the Word of our testimony. But your testimony is your speaking. By your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Jesus said that. That's your testimony, what you speak all the time. That's how you overcome. Because if you speak according to this Word, remember we read the negative of that in Isaiah 8:20, if you don't speak according to this Word, it's because there's no light in you. Okay, the opposite of that is, if you speak according to this Word, there is light in you. That light needs to come forth. Let there be light, whatever the situation is. Sickness is of darkness. Poverty is of darkness. So when you speak according to the Word, there's life in that seed. It's incorruptible. This Word is incorruptible. There's life in it. If you plant it with your mouth, it will bring life and light, and it will get the job done. And you have to be faithful in those little things. The words that you speak. And it is tough. It's easy when we come in here and we feel the Spirit of the Lord and we feel the glory of the Lord. Oh, you know, like the vision He showed me the other day. Oh, you can just, you know, speak against anything and know that it's done. You know, the walls of all the nations. And you just know in your spirit that that Word is going forth. But we don't always feel the glory. Even though we walk in heavenly places, We're not always aware of it. And the enemy comes in and puts thoughts, and a lot of times it comes right out our mouth. And it's sin. Because you get faith by hearing the Word. Unbelief is sin. So if you speak words of unbelief, it's sin. And the Lord wants to be able to trust us in these little things. You know, you think sometimes it's not important what you say. Oh, this arthritis is just getting me. That is important. He is not, you cannot go around all week talking that kind of stuff and expect to come up here and pray for somebody to get healed and the power of God flow through your hand. It won't do it. Amen. He won't do it. He will not trust you with His power until He can trust you in the little things. You have got to speak words of life every day. And I'm not perfect in it, but I am striving for it. And when I speak something negative, either the Holy Spirit or the boys will correct me and say, uh-uh. You know, I say, Lord, I repent of those words. I repent of that. That's not true. And then I'll speak the Word to overcome it, to overcome that darkness. It's important. You think it's little things, but your words are seeds. And God is not mocked. Whatsoever you sow, you're going to reap it. And if you sow seeds of disease and say, I'm sick and I'm tired and I'm... all that negative stuff, that's what you will reap. If you want to reap what you can have in this Word, you have to do your part. He's already done His. He said it was yes is the answer. He shed the blood. But you must do your part. A covenant is a two-way street. Both sides. One person can't just fulfill your side of it. You have a free will. We're not puppets. God didn't create us to be. He created us to be powerful beings. That what we speak will come to pass. And just like he showed me in that vision, when you speak his word, it's got life in it. It's got power in it. You don't have to feel it, but it will accomplish. It won't return void. It will accomplish what it said that it will. And that's what he pleases. Your blessing, your good. You must be faithful in the little things. I just cannot tell you how important that is. And you don't, people don't realize it. And there are a lot of ministers that you know, talk about this, blab it and grab it and name it and claim it and all of that, and whatever you want to call it. But it's the truth. It works because it's according to the Word. You can label it whatever you want to, but it's the Word of God. You know, so I'm going to blab it and I'm going to grab it. I'm going to name it and I'm going to claim it because it's mine. The blood was shed for it. But you can't have it unless you are faithful and plant the seeds. Hallelujah. Help us, Jesus. The sower soweth the word. Verse 15. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Don't let him come when you walk out of this building and steal the word. Don't let him do that. That's what he'll try to do. You walk out of here, sometimes before you get out, he'll try to do it. He'll say, well, you know, if you say, for example, you needed prayer, and then before you go out the door, he'll say, well, it didn't work, you're still hurting. The Lord wants us to grow up and keep our swords out. We are in a battle.